another program powered by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers, taking your calls, and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick. You are listening to Matt Slick Live. And if you want to give me a call, as usual, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you. Give me a call. And we have nobody waiting right now. So if you also want to communicate with me asking a question, but you don't want to do it by calling in, all you have to do is just email me at info@carm.org. info@carm.org. And in the subject line, just put in, let's see, radio comment or radio questions. You do that, and I should be able to get to that. And a lot of times what we do is we read them on the air, and we have a good time with that. Or I do, I think, you know, good time with that. So there you go. All right. Let's see, I've got a debate thing I'm doing on open theism coming up this Friday. And then the next week, what have I got? I got something else. The week after that, let's see. I got to find out. Get my calendar here. Yeah, I got some stuff going, so it's busy. You know how that is. Let's see. So, March 1st, Open Theism, and on March 8th, I'll be debating oneness. So, and people ask me, can you come on and do this? Monarchianism. Yeah, that's right. Monarchianism. Yeah, it'll be interesting. Okay. Anyway, in fact, with that one, what's going to happen, it'll be different. It'll be Andrew Rappaport and myself tag-teaming with each other, trying to tackle Daniel Evans and Caleb Pertscher. And we'll be doing that on Marlon Wilson's podcast, The Gospel Truth. So there you go. And I'm also broadcasting on Discord. I thought I'd just open it up today, and I did. And also on, let's see, Clubhouse. You can look up Carm on Clubhouse. And, of course, on Rumble. So, you know, we do that. All right. Oh, boy. There we go. All right. Like I said, if you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. And what we do sometimes when it's a little bit slow, I'll sometimes introduce myself because there's always new callers, new listeners, and things like that. So I'll do that right now. My name is Matt Slick. It's my real name. And some people think it's a radio name, but it's not. It's my real name. I'm born with it. My dad was in the service. And so I literally lived in 26 different places before I was 12. And I went to 12 different elementary schools. This is all true. And I remember my last name, Slick. I had buck teeth and I was super skinny. That I got chased a lot. So anyway, I earned the right to make fun of my own name and have fun with it, you know, and I stayed on the radio. You can't trust a guy named Slick. But hey, you should always check out what I say against Scripture. Now, if you have a comment or a question on theology, Christian theology, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Science, Unity, Baha'i, Islam, Roman Catholicism, did I say that already? Eastern Orthodoxy, atheism, I love science, philosophy, proofs for God's existence, discussions on oneness Pentecostal, is baptism necessary for salvation? What the heck is sacerdotalism? I can talk about Eutychianism. I love all these words. They're fancy and they're fun. I like saying them. I can talk about the hypostatic union, the communication of the properties, or in Latin, the communicatio idiomatum. We can talk about diethelitism, monothelitism, Nestorianism, all these isms and istics, which I love talking about and teach people what they mean, and also why some of those things are dangerous, because a lot of them are. And there you go. And I might as well say one more thing here. I just want to make sure that this is clear. That I believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. Without him, you are going to hell. I believe that Jesus Christ, who's God in flesh, has two distinct natures. Second person of the Trinity, but as a man, he has both a human and divine nature. He never sinned, and he went to the cross and bore our sin in his body on the cross. He died on that cross and rose 3 days later. And that in order to be justified, that means to be declared legally righteous according to the law of God. The only way to do that is by faith, and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and his propitiatory sacrifice cleanses us of sin. It removes our sin, and that the only way to be saved is by faith and trust in Jesus. And if you add to that, like trust in Jesus and your baptism and your sacraments and your Eucharist and your works of charity, then you are believing in a false gospel and you've not trusted in Christ completely and totally. So along those lines, I say Roman Catholicism and Eastern Orthodoxy are false religious systems. I honestly and vehemently believe it. They are false religious systems, and all people who go to those churches and believe in official, notice I'm saying here, official Roman Catholic theology, official Eastern Orthodox theology, when they die, they will be damned. The same thing goes with Muslims. All Muslims who believe in Islamic theology, and when they die, they go to hell. All Mormons who believe in official Mormon theology, you know, God from another planet, goddess wife, the Trinity is three separate gods. You can become a god. You have to do good works in order to be saved. Well, you believe that and you die, you will wake up in eternal damnation. That's just how it is. And this is what I believe. And also, I'm a Calvinist, and if you don't like that, okay, turn the channel. I don't care. You're predestined to do it if that's what you think. So it doesn't matter, and I defend it very well. For years, I never really pushed that or talked about it. I tried to avoid it because I don't want to unnecessarily cause division in the body of Christ. But people, they found out that hearing me talk and defend the faith in different venues would call me up on the radio and say, well, are you a Calvinist? I say, I'm going to tell them the truth. Yeah, I am. And then, so the cat's out of the bag. Well, that's a Mancoon cat. I just thought of that. What kind of cat is it that's out of the bag there? Because we have a Mancoon, a real one. And not one of those fake ones. I mean, not knocking them. Cats are great, but we have a real Maine Coon. So the cat's out of the bag. Is that a Maine Coon or a calico or a Siamese or hairless? I wonder. Anyway, since I'm wasting my intellectual time, a little bit of yours, maybe get back on topic. If you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. Or you can email me at info@carm.org. info@carm.org, carm.org. And the forums are now working properly on the Carm Empire. Forums.carm.org. You can go check those out. And I've been interacting on those. And I've offered to have a live Q&A discussion time on voice there on Reformed theology. Some people seem to be interested. I'll be doing that, maybe. And what else? Man, I got so much stuff going on. And I got to finish editing a book. And I think it's about it. You know, I don't want to give too much inane persiflage, and nor do I want anyone to consider that I might be too sesquipedalian and thereby be obstreperous. I don't want any of that, so we'll just have to see if we can get to the callers when they come in. And I do have some, I think I'm out of hate mail, though. I think I'm out of hate mail. Whoa, that's right. Oh, I remember this good. This is a good hate mail. I have to go over it again on Friday when I do hate mail. So there we go. And I've also got a lot of radio questions to get to, so maybe I can get to some of that. And let's talk to, before we do that, Alma from Virginia. Welcome. You are on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi there. How are you?
Oh, a little bit fatigued, slightly melancholy, with a little bit of apathy mixed in with a little bit of recalcitrance. That's how I am.
For some reason, I feel the same way.
Good for you. Good for you. All right. So what do you got?
Always good to be honest.
That's right.
So I have a friend who believes that after the rapture, anybody who isn't saved will be under delusion and they will not be able to be saved if they're not Jewish. And I don't believe that. I still believe people can be saved.
Yeah. Now, I don't hold a preacher rapture, but I do know that within the preacher rapture view, that during that seven-year tribulation period, yeah, people do get saved. I've never heard it. Anybody, you're the first one I've ever heard give the idea that only the Jews can be saved. But that's an interesting idea. Maybe that person could call me up and say, here's why. Here's what the Bible verses say that I use. I'd be interested in that.
I mean, the only one I've been able to find is in Revelation, where it says, when they talk about the 5,000 in front of the altar that have been redeemed out of the tribulation, mm-hmm. that they are of every nation, tongue, and people. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
And so I was just wondering if there's other scripture that could support my view.
Well, it's he has to support his, or that person, whoever it is, has to support their view. Because they're making this claim, you know, that only the Jews. So, okay, if that's the case, you know, maybe it's true. I just say to people, show it to me in the Word. And this is out of Revelation 14, incidentally. Verse 1, then I looked, and behold, the Lamb was standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads. Now, someone might make a logic error and say, well, that means that only the 144,000, which later we find out come from the 12 tribes of Israel, 12,000 from the
Correct.
12 tribes. And sometimes what people will do is they will infer what is not there. For example, I'm not saying that this person is doing it, just to show you what people do sometimes. Then I looked, and behold, the Lamb was standing, right? And with him was 144,000. They'll say, see, only 144,000 could be saved. But it doesn't say that. Some people might do that. They might say, well, it's only 144,000. It doesn't say it's only. Okay. And he says, I heard a voice like the sound of many waters, etc., harps playing, and the four living creatures. And no one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been purchased from the earth. You know, well, what does that mean, the song? What song is it that is being sung? Because what's really interesting, it says before they sang a new song before the throne and the four living creatures. And what the heck is that? And I know some stuff about the four living creatures, which, and I don't know what it means, though. But then anyway, it says they've not defiled themselves with women. And what does that mean? Does that mean they're virgins? Does it mean they're married? Because it's not a defilement inside of marital union to have relations. That's not a defilement.
That's true.
I use that because the Catholics say that she has not been defiled by losing her virginity. Wait, are you saying then that women are defiled who are virgins when they get married to their husbands, and they're defiled when they have relations? Is that what you're saying? You know, anyway. So it's just that it's difficult to nail this down on what it exactly means. And that's a tough one. So it's up to that person to say, this is what it really means, and this is why it means what it means. Okay.
Okay.
They can't do it, yeah.
It's a tough one. Well, I appreciate it.
Okay. But,
thank you very much.
Yeah, my opinion is, I believe we go through the tribulation period. I believe it's going to go, and it's going to get bad. That's me. That's what I believe. But at any rate, hey, there's a break. So.
All right.
We'll take off. All right. God bless, Alma. Thank you.
God bless.
Hey, oh, I'm sorry about that. Cut her off there. Hey, if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the show. Thanks for listening and putting up with me. And if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. All right, let's get on the phone here with Paulette from Durham, North Carolina. Paulette, welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So what do you got? Are you there?
Uh-huh.
Hello?
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah, you have a question?
Yes, can you explain to me what this thing about the church awoke or whatever it is, what that means,
what,
being awoke.
What it means to be woke, yeah.
Yeah.
It means to be socially aware of varying problems in our society, like racism, white privilege, ageism, social injustices, prejudices, etc. And that to be, it means you are awake, you're woke about all of those things, because you should be aware of them, because if you're not, you're not a good person. And you have to assume that they're true, and that generally the perpetrators of these injustices are white men, generally.
Well, why all of a sudden are we just hearing about that? I've never heard of it before.
It's been out for just a few short years. Well, I believe it's because the enemy, the devil, is working through the leftists on our country to undermine truth, to undermine harmony in our culture. And I believe it's part and parcel of the socialist communist movements in different countries to try and undermine America, which they proclaim they want to do. And this is just one of the things that causes division, causes more racism, causes more problems. And it's being used as a bat to bludgeon people who say, oh, you're not woke, you're a bigot, you don't understand white privilege, you this, you. And it's just, it's bad. But what's good is that people are becoming, I like to call it woked. They're waking up about being woke. They're woked in that they already see the fakery that's in wokeism. And I call them the woketards, because there's too many woketards that are out there that are just saying, this is how things have to be, and you've got to, you know, white people are the ones who caused slavery in America, and that's just how it is. And yet they don't. They're not taught things like the first, I believe it was the first black slave owner was a black man himself in America, and that it was slavery was perpetrated among all cultures, basically in all continents, way before the blacks here in America were sold, you know, sold in slavery by other blacks in Africa. So this kind of stuff is not taught because it's not politically correct. So the woke means, no, you can't affirm those things. What needs to be affirmed is white men bad, everybody else good, this kind of a thing. And there's racism everywhere. And then there's something called ageism. And, well, you're an ageist. Well, that means you don't believe that people who are in their 60s or 70s can get a job or can work and do certain jobs. There's various prejudices. It just goes on. It's just become a means to how do I say this? A means to oppress people and silence them. And one of the places this is very prominent is in college campuses, which is supposed to be places of neutrality of learning, but no, they're just campuses that producing woketards everywhere. The leftists who believe in 8,000 genders, and you have to use the right pronouns, and if you don't call them by the right pronoun, you're the one being violent. And so if you don't talk the way they want you to talk about them, you're the one who's evil and violent. They are wannies. I call them wannies. Wannies are somebody who goes, wah, wah. they're babies. They're children who don't know what it means to think critically and to be fair. So, they're the ones who are full of injustice and bigotry. Yeah.
So they're not a good thing?
Oh, no. This woke stuff is not good. Yeah. The idea, let me kind of clarify. The idea of being woke in the sense of, hey, we don't want racism, we don't want injustice. Of course we don't want that stuff. Well, that's fine. But they don't stop at the there's no problem with that. They don't stop at the simplicity of that. They continue way beyond it and turn it into a weapon. So the left weaponizes whatever they can to get what they want. They've weaponized the FBI, the DOJ, the IRS. They've weaponized the idea of wokeness. So the woketards are in there saying that you're the bigots, you're the oppressors. White people are the oppressors. I mean, it's what? You know, it's ridiculous. In fact, I've been in rooms where the woketards are talking and about, you know, the oppressive white system. And I say to them, I'm a white guy. I says, what have I done to oppress you? I mean, what?
Exactly.
You know? And you have white privilege because you're white. I said, really? Well, you tell that to my wife and me, who had to live on $15 extra a week when we're so broke, and I'm trying to work my tail off, paying off school loans and doing whatever I could and working 50, 60, 70-hour weeks. You tell me, what advantage is it that I had? And, you know, to get where I'm at, I had to work extremely hard. And, you know, it's just, I think wokeism is a means to justify, to some degree with some people, to justify their own failures, their own inabilities, and to not look upon themselves and take responsibility for their own actions. Now, I'm not saying there aren't problems in our society. Of course there's racism, and there's injustices and prejudices. Of course there are. But we need to, you know, we get rid of those. We work against them, and there's been incredible progress made in that area. But the woke people keep it at the forefront and inadvertently cause more of the problems that they are saying they want to get rid of. So I believe it's a leftist ploy to undermine our country, part of it, and to help destroy our nation. And the left, the woketard left, you know, they open the border because that's what's fair, right? And so 8 million people are in a country. It's insane. I think the left is like a terrorist organization.
When things go bad, when things go bad, we're the ones they will blame.
Exactly correct. And I hope Trump gets in, and I hope Trump deports the illegals who have illegally come into this country. And if he does, which I hope he does, then what will happen is the left will complain about him. He's draconian. He's evil. He's mean. And they'll attack.
Right.
In fact, you know, I just read that. I forgot what city it was in that they had to stop. They had to stop paying people who are on call for varying hours to work in the city for varying jobs. They stopped it because they need to have the money to pay for the illegals who are giving them free room and board
and
food and everything. It's insane.
I see all these things all over the place. Do you think illegals should get our Medicare, our benefits, or whatever?
No, they shouldn't. We can talk about it. Hold on, we got a break, okay? We'll talk a little more about this after the break, because we do have a break. So, hey, folks, you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to the show. Let's get back on with Paulette if she's still there. Are you still there?
I am.
Okay.
I haven't got but just another minute or two because I'm getting ready to go in church. But
good for you.
I just wanted to make sure I was right about that I was looking at it the right way about the woke. And there was something else we were just talking about, and forgive my old age, but I don't remember what it was.
Yeah, well, I understand that one. That's happening to me more and more, too. Right.
Well, I really appreciate you taking time to talk with people and with me, and you're doing a good work because I've learned a lot from listening to you.
Good. Well, praise God. You know, praise God. Appreciate that. All right.
Okay.
Well, good.
Well, you have a good evening. It's raining here, so.
I love rain.
I'll talk to you later. It's okay, except when you're old and got to walk in it.
Well, there's no problem. Just walk slowly and just enjoy the blessing from heaven. Yeah.
That's,
I love rain.
You don't have to take a shower tomorrow, right?
That's true. All right. Well, Paula, well, God bless.
Okay, well, thank you. On YouTube.
Right.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Okay, bye. You know, folks, you may not be aware of this. I wrote a whole bunch of articles on social justice a few years ago, including this issue. And I found myself writing and referring to the new society. And no one was using that terminology, but I just kept saying, well, they want a new society. And so I wrote an article about it, the new society. And it's part of this this issue of what the left wants to do. And I'll get to that in a second. But in another article I wrote called Sliding Towards Sodom, what I did was write about leftist progressivism and what it wants to do. At any rate, so what I did was I found some titles to articles, and I hyperlinked them. I don't know if they're still available, but these were written like 3-4 years ago. And I wrote this. Instead, like Nazi Germany, the leftists, okay, will find a scapegoat. Here's our leftist, LGBT, cancel culture, the attack on conservatives and Judeo-Christian ethics is well underway. That's what they're doing. The leftists are doing that. And I found 5 articles, and there's many, many more, but MSNBC's Joy Reid ties Trump to Osama bin Laden in the wake of Capitol Hill chaos. And another article, Democrat lawmaker says it's time to call Republicans terrorists. Democrats call white Christian nationalists a national security threat. Another article, the fundamentals of extremism, the Christian right in America. Another article, public school advocate attacks charter private schools, compares them to terrorist training centers. Now, this is what's going on, all right? In the new society, what they want is a secular humanist, politically correct, semi-Marxist, morally relative culture with the following characteristics. That there's no absolute and ultimate morality because there's no absolute God. Christianity, they say, promotes oppression, bigotry, and intolerance. It must be resisted and even controlled. Morality evolves with the increasingly secularized society's needs and desires. Moral absolutes are non-existent, except those promoting LGBTQ. And the LGBTQ rights are above the right of the free expression of a person's religious convictions, even though these religious convictions and expression rights are guaranteed by the Constitution. Abortion rights must be preserved in this new society. Dissenters are ridiculed and mocked as oppressors of women. You have the right not to be offended. If you are, you have the right to silence the offenders, especially when it comes to offensive conservative speech. Politically correct speech is automatically superior to conservative speech. These are all the basic principles that are underlying and floating around in the leftist ideology. They have the weaponization of racism, which is used to shame white people, stop oppression, and silence the majority. White people are automatically guilty of racism and continue to benefit from white supremacy. The media cultivate division, hatred, and resentment to gain ratings, push their leftist agenda, and further condition people to accept socialism. And let me tell you, folks, socialism fails, and it's deadly. Socialism is deadly. People don't study history because the socialist leftist morons are in control of our society. Now, I'm saying this on YouTube. Now, will I be told that I can't be on YouTube now? Well, am I going to be docked for saying what I believe? Now, if I am, that's just proof of the double standard that the left has. Because on the left, you're allowed to criticize conservatives and call them all names and say that violence against them is justified under certain conditions. But if I say this is what the left is doing, then I'm the one who'll be silenced. And if it does happen, well, so be it. We're broadcasting on Rumble, and at least there's some freedom there. But this is how things work. So big tech and the mainstream media censor conservatives but allow left-spun misinformation to flourish. See, I didn't even know that was the next one I was going to read, but there it is. Doublespeak, you should read 1984 to know what doublespeak is. It's the anti-utopian novel called 1984. Everybody should read it. You really should. Doublespeak frames acceptable thinking and dialogue. Tolerance is really suppressed speech. Equality is discrimination against conservatives. Freedom is submission to the increasing control of government. That's what doublespeak is. They say tolerance is everybody's okay, but not for you, because you're a conservative. Otherwise, because if you give conservative values, then you're intolerant. So real tolerance means we can't be tolerant towards you. It's called doublespeak. Free market capitalism has led to the unequal distribution of wealth and power, has resulted in the oppression of the lower classes. This is communist propaganda. That is pure communism. That's David. Socialism is the solution to our current problem, since they say it promotes the equal distribution of resources and the opportunity for all. And when this does happen, oppression occurs. I could read the downfall of Venezuela over the past 30 years as they adopted socialism, and how it led to the collapse of their society and their economic prowess. Here's another one, two more to go. Socialist propaganda is woven into schools, TV, and the media to shape the youth's thoughts to accept more big government, reject constitutional principles, and guns lead to violence. Therefore, access to them must be restricted and controlled, if not completely denied. So only guns lead to violence, not baseball bats, not chains, not knives, not rocks, not eggs that you can throw, but no, guns. Why? Because if you take the guns away from a population, then you can control them. And this is the leftist, okay? It's the leftist ideology that's being taught there. And I already mentioned about sliding towards Sodom, and we got a break coming up there in a couple of minutes, and we'll get to the caller, Dennis, in a little bit. But I want to mention something. One of the things I've noticed, and I wrote about this, this is an article from 2023, in July 2023, don't use leftist words and definitions. Now, if you're a Christian, say husband and wife. Don't say partner. Don't do that. Don't say abortion. Don't say, what is it, reproductive rights. Say abortion. Or say the killing of the baby in the womb. Don't play their game. If they can control the vocabulary that you use, then they've won half the battle. You see, they've infiltrated schools, movies, children's books, libraries with their liberal leftist morality and groupthink, and their pornographic stuff that they do with what are the people who dress like women, guys or women? You know, the perversion there. They see, the left preaches tolerance, but are actually intolerant. They profess unity, but they cause division. It's so bad. They promote equality, but they discriminate. Don't fall for it. Don't use their terms. Don't say partner, say husband and wife, boyfriend and girlfriend. Don't say sexual orientation, say man or woman. Don't say fetus, say baby. Don't say abortion rights, say killing the unborn. Don't say patriarchy, say hard-working men or hard-working people. Don't say chest feeders. So stupid. Say mother. Don't say toxic masculinity, say strong and good men. Don't say social justice, say leftist indoctrination. And may I suggest that you don't say LGBTQ. Maybe you should say the alphabet mob. That's what I use sometimes. And don't be a snowflake, a leftist, a socialist, a compromiser, or a weakling. Don't use the political left terminology that restricts your freedom and redirects your thoughts to a leftist agenda. Be strong. Stand in the Word of God, okay? Hey, we have a couple open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. If you want to give me a call, you can. All you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. Let's get to Dennis from Ohio. Dennis, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt, thanks for taking my call. Hey, I got a question about marriage in the Christian community. I heard a pastor today on the radio talking, and I was looking around in my Christian community here and noticed they've got a lot of couples on, like, their second marriage. Yep. So I was thinking some of them from their first marriage got divorced, but maybe not so much for reasons of infidelity or adultery as Jesus was talking about in the Bible. So they dissolve the first relationship, and then they go into the dating scene, I guess, and then they fall in love again, and they get remarried. So if I'm understanding right, at this point they're in a state of adultery. Would that be right?
Yes. Yes, they are, and we'll talk about that and what to do about it. Because in Matthew 5:32, Jesus says, "But I say to you," Jesus says, Matthew 5:32, "I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife except for the reason of unchastity or adultery, okay, makes her commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery." Now, he's talking to the Jews. And we could talk about the necessity of the covenant aspect and how it's restrictive, and we get into some stuff. But here's another verse in Matthew 19:9. "And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for immorality," or porneia is the Greek word, "and marries another woman commits adultery." So we have different there's some ways we can talk about this. But okay, so now what do we do? Let's look at different scenarios. Let's say we have two atheists, a man and a woman. And let's just say that in this situation, the woman commits adultery, and because of it, they get divorced. Let's just say that's what happened. All right, so he is technically free to marry somebody else, even though he's not a Christian. All right, and then he becomes a Christian later on. Now, can he get married? Let's say now he's a believer, and he's not remarried. Is he free to remarry? Yes, he is, because she's the one who violated the marriage contract, and so divorce was there. All right, let's just say that, we'll go back to that scenario, and he and she, they were atheists, and they just didn't like each other. They got tired of each other, and they got divorced. They yelled at each other a lot. "I don't like you anymore." They got divorced. That's not biblical grounds. So now what? So he becomes a Christian. Is he free to remarry? Now we have to discuss this, because we don't want to be legalistic, and we do want to be able to say to people that the grace of God is so good that he can work around and through those kinds of things. So when a person becomes Christian, and such a man in that situation becomes Christian, then all of his sin, it's gone. And he's justified before God. Is he free to remarry? In my opinion, I'd say, yes, he is. Now, some would say, no, he's not, even though he was an unbeliever at the time. Now, this is a debated topic. I'm just giving you my opinion. So I would say, yes, he is, because he's acknowledged his past sin. He's repented of it. You know, he's not going to go back with her. She's still an unbeliever. He can't marry her. He can't do all that stuff back. So he can move forward. And I say, just at that point, you know, he from then on, he's okay. If he divorces, he gets married, he divorces a woman because he doesn't like her, at that point, he's not free to remarry, and he's in great sin. And if he does remarry, then he's in a state of adultery. Now what do we do? Well, then, let's say in that situation, he finally comes to his senses and says, "Oh my goodness, what have I done? I can't believe I did this. I'm wrong. I should have married her." Now what do we do? Oh, get a divorce? No, we can't say go to divorce, because he's committed to her. We say, stay with her, repent of what you've done. It's under the cross. You go. You go forward. It's like when we're in seminary. I was in sem, and we had a discussion. What do you do with missionaries who get people in tribes, backwards tribes, let's just say, culturally by our standards, and they have multiple wives, and they become Christians? Should he divorce all these wives and just keep one? Because you're only supposed to be married to one. Well, the answer is no, don't do that. But you stay faithful to them, but you can't marry any more, and you can't be an elder, because the Bible says husband of one wife. So you see, there's lots of variables in this, and it's difficult to wade through each and every one. And each side that I give, someone could come forth and say, no, that's wrong because. And I'm not saying that we all have all the answers all the time, but it is difficult to work through it all the time, every way. Okay.
Yeah, I can understand that. I was thinking that if you're married in that non-adulterous situation, that you're committing a new sin, you could be every day of every waking day of the new marriage. And in order to repent, normally, if you acknowledge your sin and you try not to do that sin no more, but you're like you're saying, you're in a situation where what do? Mm-hmm. You can't just divorce right. again. And right. So I guess God's power and grace is big enough to overcome that on probably a case-by-case right. basis. But mm-hmm. I was just looking at it from a general point of view and saying, my wife and I have been married 49 years.
Whoa, and, congratulations.
Well, thank you, Matt. I'm your age, too, and I understand the problems, the medical things you talk about, because I'm in that same boat. But I appreciate your show, and I appreciate your insight. I was just wondering about that today, saying, man, I'm glad I'm not in that situation, because it's just something, there's enough problems going on without that.
Yeah, and so I have a philosophy, Christian philosophy, in that I'd rather err on the side of grace than legalism. Grace than law, within certain boundaries, though. It's not just, hey, it's okay, go out and do all these bad things, you're under grace. No. When we have situations like this that are just difficult to work through, then what we do is we try and be gracious as possible. Okay, that's what I would say.
All right, well, sir, thank you for your time, and then I'll continue listening and give you a call some other time on the next question. Thank you.
Sure, sounds good. All right.
All right,
God bless. All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Jeff from Greensboro, North Carolina. Jeff, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, how's it going? I got a question for you. My wife, I've been married to her for 4 years now, and she has Huntington's disease.
No way.
And...
No way.
Yeah,
because my wife's brother, his wife has Huntington's disease.
So you're familiar with it.
Yes, I am. I've seen it firsthand what it does. My goodness. Okay,
it's
so I know.
Horrible.
Yes, it is.
So what my question is, I want to be an advocate.
One half mile.
And I was wondering what all, what is involved and how do you become one?
How do you what?
How do you become an advocate? Because I'd like to be an advocate for the disease. Because I hear about it all the time, people saying be an advocate. And I'm like, what does that even occur?
Okay. It means that one of the things it can mean is that you stand in the gap, because I know what this does to people. I've seen it. My brother-in-law is dealing with it. We've been there. And you know what's weird? I just thought of this. She still laughs at my stupid jokes, and we can't figure out why.
Yeah.
They're stupid.
Exactly.
And she chuckles at them. Yeah, and apparently I'm the only one that she'll do that with. You know how things are weird, but at any rate, that's what Huntington's is. For those who don't know, it affects your body and your mind, and they both degrade, but it's usually more in the mind, and there's different levels of it and things like that and stuff. So, but at any rate, so you have to be there for her and be an advocate to...
Mm-hmm.
Help her take meds when possible, appointments when possible.
Mm-hmm.
You got to feed her, you got to take care of her, you got to make sure, all the stuff. And depending on what level she's at. And so you just got to do that constantly. And when you go places, you got to be there. Now, if you mean in the sense of a national organization, I know that there are groups out there that work with Huntington's disease. And
you have mutual support. And Reach.
Yeah. And so you can talk to them and say, what can I do to help, or whatever it might be. And I understand how...
I'm pretty much her...
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm pretty much her caregiver, so, husband. So.
Yes.
I work full-time and take care of her at the same time.
Yes, and we could talk about that, because not that my wife has Huntington, she has something else. And I'm functioning as a caretaker for her as well. And
I think I spoke to you a couple of years ago, actually. You called me directly.
Yeah, her condition, let's just say things are progressing, and I'm not trying to give too much information because I respect her privacy and stuff like that, but I understand what it means to be more and more the caregiver and the caretaker and what it does to you and the struggles we have to go through. And so this is why we need others, and we need to have people we can talk to and stuff like that. But and then, then you find out you're not as sanctified as you thought you were. You find out you're not as wise and loving as you thought you were, you know? And yeah, you find out about yourself, and then you pray through those things. Lord, you know, help me to be even better at this and that and that and this. It's just what it is, yeah. But at any rate, so that's what I would tell you.
Life expectancy. Life expectancy is 10 to 15 years, and she's at year 15 right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry to hear it. I think my sister-in-law, she's at about 10 years. And so we don't know what's going on. But, I mean, I don't have all the details, but, yeah, and the fall is, it affects us. You know, my wife has Louise Dietz, and I have, I have Asperger's, you know. So we just deal with what we've got to deal with. What else are you going to do? And move forward best we can. But you need support. If you don't have someone that you can talk to, you know, I would contact people in the Huntington disease community and find someone that you can talk to on a semi-regular basis. It would be helpful.
Yep, I agree.
Yeah, it is. And, yeah, my sympathy. And, it's not easy. It's not easy. No. My brother-in-law will call us every now and then. We'll talk, and he tells us some of the stuff that's going on and how difficult it is for him. And he's not complaining and like, hey, it's all about me. That's not what it is. It's just the reality.
And for people that are listening, if you know, if they have family members that have that are having like behavior, real bad behavior issues, it's spelled risperidone, but it's called risperidone. That med is a lifesaver. It changed her from night to day. I mean,
what's it called?
You know, ask. Yeah, to risperidone, R-I-S-P-E-R-I-D-O-N-E.
Okay. I'll remember it. She doesn't have any behavior problems, but yeah. Hey, there's the music. We got to go. And you know, thanks for calling. You know, appreciate it. All right.
Sure, no problem.
And may
thanks
the Lord bless you. All right, and people will pray for your wife. Okay. You know, God knows who he is. Okay, we're out of here. Hey, folks, thanks for listening. May the Lord bless you, and by his grace, we'll be back on there tomorrow, and we'll talk to you then. Have a good evening.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.